Well, good morning, friends and neighbors. Lenny Lawson here, the car guru and one happy camper. Yes, sir, yes, sirs and ma'ams. I have had an incredible last couple of days. I went to Nashville with my beautiful bride, and we I'd heard about these hotels called the Graduate Hotels. I think I may have mentioned this in an earlier show, but I decided to try them out. I was listening to a Business Made Simple podcast, and I highly recommend those to anybody in business. They're done by a fellow named Donald Miller, and he was interviewing a gentleman who had basically come up with a concept for hotels and then developed it, found investors, and proceeded to buy older hotel properties in different college towns for the most part. And they would just really take on the heritage of that community and the college that they located. One of them, for example, is at the Naval Academy. It's called the Graduate Annapolis. And it's got a Naval Academy theme in all the rooms and stuff. I'm sure that's beautiful. There's one at in Michigan at Ann Arbor. There's one in Knoxville. They put a graduate. It's right there on the strip. Used to be a, I can't remember what hotel it used to be, but they gutted it and turned it into a graduate hotel. Well, there's one in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was one of the first ones. And it's got a country music theme to it. And I actually slept below a picture of Dolly Parton. That was a non-event. But anyway, they had a canopy bed and beautiful floors and fabrics and a lobby like you've never seen before. I mean, I'm not talking about like ultra glamorous. It was just cool. Decorated in a way that I'd never seen before. But anyway, my wife and I stayed there for one night. I said, since we're having so much fun, let's go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So we ate at Ruth's Chris, which is right down, that's one block away. We just walked down the street. I ate at the, I think the first Ruth's Chris, I think it was just called Chris Steakhouse down in New Orleans one time with my parents. But a lady named Ruth bought it. I don't know her last name. Really, you could Google and get the whole story, but she now calls it, or she's probably gone by now, but it was called Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And, you know, if you don't mind paying out the wazoo for a very, very good steak, I mean, I'd say it's a $35 steak that you have to pay $65 for. That's a lot. I know. I'm crazy. But I was excited because the next day I was going to the National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky, to pick up a brand new 2022 Corvette Stingray. Yes, I was very excited about it. And so we got up the next morning and jumped in our rental BMW from Enterprise. Thank you very much. And took the 1 hour drive north to Bowling Green. I guess you heard what happened to Bowling Green recently, along with Maysville, Ohio, an unbelievable series of tornadoes ripped through there and unfortunately killed a bunch of people. And I felt very weird about that, you know, going there on such a happy occasion, right after such a tragic occasion. We got there early to the museum, and so Tara and I decided to just kind of drive around, and it wasn't hard to find the damage. I mean, just monstrous trees just snapped like toothpicks and roofs torn off of buildings and stuff. Even the cars that a lot of the cars that were ready to be delivered to other people who choose the museum delivery option when they order their Corvette, their cars had been damaged pretty severely. Thank goodness the day before the tornado, they had pulled my car inside, and so it was undamaged. But we arrived at the National Corvette Museum. It's right across from the plant where they build Corvettes. It's shut down right now as well because of damage to the plant because of the tornado. But this was an exciting day, and I'm anxious to tell you more about it. Now, I will right after this break. Okay, I'm back. Bowling Green, Kentucky, I didn't really explore it that much. It looks like a pretty big town. I didn't check the population. It seemed like maybe Johnson City size. They have a big mall and a lot of the, you know, big box restaurants and big box stores and so forth. But, you know, I wasn't there to shop. I was there to pick up my Corvette. So this museum is it's kind of an ugly thing. I mean, it was probably okay back in 94 when they built it. But it is not real pretty. It's a lot of metal. Now, I don't know if you heard about this, but back in February of 2014, a big sinkhole collapsed in the sky dome of the museum. It happened in the early hours of the morning. Nobody was there, but security cameras were rolling and saw the whole thing. And since then, they have turned that into a major tourist attraction. The new exhibit opened on February 12, 2016. It was a two-year anniversary of the sinkhole. And they talk. The exhibit talks about why it happened, you know, what they discovered as far as the caves and stuff that were underneath the museum that they didn't know about. And the process that they went through to fix it was pretty amazing. But there were some pretty valuable cars. The 1 millionth Corvette fell 30 feet. It was preserved, though. There were several other cars that were completely obliterated, smashed to smithereens. They've actually got them on display there. And plus, there were three cars that were not so bad that they couldn't restore them. So they got those cars back in working order, and they're on display there now. But the tour was everything from the 53 Corvette when the car first came out to modern times, and everything as far as racing, the racing history of Corvette is unbelievable. There's a Hall of Fame there which shows all of the key players. There's this one guy named Zora Arkus Duntov. Not exactly a name you would expect to hear in East Tennessee, amongst all the Will Hoyts and the Sheltons and the Hensleys and stuff like that. Duntov, I think he was Norwegian or from Denmark or someplace like that, but he was an engineer. And when Corvette had rumored that they were going to come out with a two-door sports car, he was just a bystander, an engineer that happened to go to the Autorama that they held that particular year, and I think it was in New York City. And he saw the car, and then he wrote a letter to General Motors and said, "These are the mistakes that you are making with this car." He was an engineer and also a race car driver. And they liked what he said so much, they said, "Well, why don't you come? You think you know so much. Why don't you come and help us design and build a car that people will want to buy?" Well, he did. At the time, General Motors had made the brilliant decision to put a inline six-cylinder engine in the Corvette, and it was a slug. Did not run very good. Very uncomfortable seating positions. The 53, 54 Vette, you know, they're just not very, I mean, they're worth a lot of money now, the original cars, but not fun to drive. 55 Thunderbird, or Ford, came out with the Thunderbird. And it really was a very rapid response to the Corvette. And the Corvette finally, that woke up the engineering talent at General Motors, and they decided, okay, we better get with it. Because they were seriously thinking, the car was such a failure, they decided that they were probably going to terminate the car in 55. And then here comes Ford with the Thunderbird, and they say, whoa, let's redesign this thing and make it work. That was the Generation 1, called the Corvette 1 or C1 generation, which lasted until Corvette or Chevrolet came out with the Stingray, which was in 1963. And that was the C2 generation. The car that I got is C8, so it's the eighth generation of the Corvette. I'll talk about it more here in just a minute, but Zora, we got to kind of get close to Zora, or at least his ashes, yes. His ashes and those of his wife are mounted in a wall there at the Corvette Museum. That doesn't sound as morbid as you would think. They actually have his car there, that the Corvette that they presented to him as a gift, is on display there as well. And I've got his autograph on a poster. I'm looking at it right now in my office. I have it's a beautiful kind of a collage painting of the history of the Corvette. It shows the 53 There's a 56. There's a Stingray, a bunch of race cars. The Mako Shark version that was a design study that they did for the Corvette. And then also the first mid-engine version of the car that never came out until 2020. But Zora, not Zorro, but Zora, autographed this picture along with Dave McClellan and Dave Hill, which at that time, those were only the three engineers that had been involved in the Corvette program since its inception. But there have been a number of different engineers since then, and I can't remember the guy's name that's responsible for this C8 version. But, you know, Lenny Lawson was just really never a big Corvette fan. I mean, when I was in high school and stuff like that, my brother and I couldn't wait, or even in college, couldn't wait for my dad to get a Corvette in so we'd get to take it out and see what it would do. And he was, of course, scared, biting his fingernails. I still can't believe he let us take these cars out occasionally, but he did. He trusted us, and we did not let him down. I never wrecked a Corvette. I just wrecked a brand new Nova SS. But anyway, he forgave me for that one. So the Corvette has an illustrious history. I was never really a fan until 2020. And when they came out with that mid-engine Corvette and made it look like a Ferrari, I said, okay, I like that. Didn't decide to buy one until the opportunity was presented to me where an individual had ordered this Corvette. Now, there's about a year and a half, 2 year waiting list if you want a Corvette right now, unless you're willing to pay out the nose for it. There's some dealers that the deals fall through and they'll offer them on their website for like $30,000 over window sticker. And the amazing thing is people pay it. But there aren't many available that way. And so most of them are ordered. Most of them are delivered to the dealership that ordered the vehicle for the customer. I don't know how many Champion sells each year. I would assume probably, 30 a year. But you can imagine there's a long waiting list. And if you want one, you have to place an order and wait. Now, if you don't want to take it at the dealership, you can do a museum delivery, which is this gentleman from over near Raleigh, North Carolina, ordered this car exactly the way that I would have ordered it. It's amazing. And he chose the museum delivery. Well, I had been searching for vets, and I had made contact with a couple of dealers just over the internet. And then one day I get this phone call from this salesperson that works at this dealership over in North Carolina, Mooresville, North Carolina, big dealer, multi-franchise dealer, has a bunch of different locations, called Randy Marion Chevrolet. He said, we have a vet that's available. The customer... the deal fell through. He could not obtain financing or some reason. He said, would you want the car? Well, I said, well, yeah, I mean, let me look at the invoice and check it out. So we agreed to a price, and I agreed to the museum delivery. Thus, my wonderful trip to Bowling Green, Kentucky with my wife. So we took the tour, and then they have this, like, it's like an avenue, with brick-paved street, that has two rows of Corvettes, all of them like that. There were probably, I'm going to say, 10 Corvettes in there that were ready for the delivery that particular day. And so they have them all, they've got these barriers around each car. And but it's on either side. On one side you have a big theater. The other side you have a store and a restaurant and stuff like that. So it's just like, I mean, it's an indoor city street. And they've got street lights and so forth. It's really quite neat. And so there, I walk in, and there's the car sitting there. And it's the first time I got to lay my eyes on it. And it was more beautiful than what I had thought. And a wonderful lady came up and spoke to us, introduced herself to us, and said, are you Mr. Lawson? And I said, yes, I am. She said, well, this is your Corvette. And I was so excited. My heart is thumping right now, just the thought of that. So she took us over to a corner and we reviewed the paperwork. She needed a copy of my driver's license, a bill of sale where it proving that I had purchased the car, proof of insurance, and then a license that I could, you know, put on the back of the car and drive home. So I provided those. Imagine going all that way and forgetting one of those. That would have been sad. But I didn't. I was thorough. And so we were able to get the paperwork thing put aside. Then she took us on the big museum tour. Guess where the last stop was? In the souvenir shop. Yeah, I mean, they set you up, you know, to buy a bunch of jackets and T-shirts and hats and belt buckles and you name it. I said, ma'am, I appreciate all that, but a Ford dealer cannot wear a Corvette shirt or a jacket. I'm sorry. And she just thought that was funny as heck, that a Ford dealer was there buying a Corvette. But, of course, you got to keep in mind, I mean, I was actually a Chevrolet dealer in name and in reality for 26 years, my dad for 39 years. And so, and now I'm a Ford guy. You know, again, people ask me, how can you switch from Chevy to Ford? And I say, survival, baby. No, that's kind of what it was. But that's a different story for another show. But anyway, I didn't buy a bunch of stuff, but I did get my window sticker and the original build sheet and several other cool documents laminated, because Lenny Lawson knows how important documentation is when it comes to the value of a car, right? We talk about that. If you don't have the documentation, it can reduce the value of a car significantly. So I did, had it all laminated. And then we went to the car. And she said, have a seat, Mr. Lawson. So I get in the car, and she starts pointing out everything. And I'm telling you, the technology blows me away. But it's just reinforced for me how important it is to have a good salesperson. Now, she didn't sell me the car, but she was the person handling the delivery of the car, which is the actual, you know, me picking the car up. And there are so many buttons in that car and so many different operations that car can do. And she went through every one of them. It took about an hour and 15 minutes of going through the car. I mean, she showed me, like, you know, if the key fobs, the battery in the key fob goes dead, there's a certain things that you can do to get into the car. If the car won't start, if you have a dead battery, there's certain things you need to do. I mean, they just cover pretty much everything. How to take the top off of the car and store it in the back. She didn't just tell me, there's the top, there's the switch, put it right there. We took it out and put it in there and installed it. She showed me how to make sure that it's secure in the back. And then all the technology on the inside, all the screens. You know, this is a performance car. It's actually a race car for the street. And if I wanted to take it to the track, I can put it in track mode, and it changes the driving dynamics of the vehicle. It stiffens the steering. It stiffens the shocks. It changes the exhaust on the car. It gives you a different instrument cluster, totally different, so you can see things at a quicker glance that matter on a racetrack. And then, you know, you have touring mode, sport mode. You have a winter mode. So if somebody was nutty enough to try to take a Corvette to go, you know, plowing through the snow, then that's the mode that you would put it in. But just the way that she went through it, she got it. She said, I've got bad knees. Do you care if I use a knee pad? And I said, absolutely not. Go ahead. Use your knee pad. So she put this pad down, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and she's pointing all this stuff out to me and taking me through all the steps. And my wife's over there. I think she was ready to take a siesta, you know, after hearing all that. But I'm just fascinated with it. And so just went through everything, and then it was time for us to take the car out. She said, well, I have to drive the car out. Now, folks, we're inside of a building, and then we got to get it out of there. And so she gets in the driver's seat, I get in the passenger, and then I hear the applause. She honks her horn twice, and then everybody in that place starts clapping, celebrating this Ford dealer from Greenville, Tennessee, getting a new Corvette. So we drove out, and then we had to make a right-hand turn to go down this hallway. It's a long hallway, and there's a guy on the end, and he raises the garage door, and he gives me a final applause. And then we pull it outside and take pictures. And then she takes all the pictures, and then she puts them up on it. I had to sign something saying they could put my likeness on their website. I hope Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, doesn't see that. Of course, he probably likes Corvettes too. But Jim Farley, who is the CEO of Ford Motor Company, his cousin, first cousin, was Chris Farley, the comedian. Remember him? You know, living in a van down by the river. Maybe you didn't see the Saturday Night episode that I saw. But anyway, funny episode, but the experience that I had at the Corvette Museum was brilliant. And yesterday, I got to drive that car. It had 5 miles on it, and I got to put an additional 310 miles on it, driving it back to Greenville, Tennessee. Now, the car would not go over 4,500 RPMs until it hits 500 miles on the odometer, and then it will automatically, the computer will free up the engine so that I can rev it up beyond 4,500. So, and that's not much for a Corvette, trust me. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy hearing about that. I'll be back here in just a second. So one of the hardest things I have ever done was to jump in my F-150 truck and drive it to work this morning and not jump in that Corvette. It's nestled in my garage at the house. And that was hard, folks. I mean, it's like getting a new bicycle for Christmas and saying, hey, you can't ride it. That was tough. I was really wanting to bring it in. But I'm still trying to decide, okay, am I going to put this thing in the showroom for display? Is that weird? Is that weird for a Ford dealer with a Ford dealership and a Nissan dealership to put a brand new Corvette in the showroom? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are saying, go for it, Lenny. It's your car. That's right. It is. And I'll probably end up putting it in the showroom. But that car drove in the comfort mode, and it's just like driving a minivan or a luxury car. Rides good, not a lot of tire noise, very quick, you know, as quick as you can go up to 4,500 RPMs. But it was unbelievable sound system. It's only got 13 speakers in the car. So congratulations to me. Congratulations to Chevrolet, my competitor, for building an amazing machine. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to keep the car for a really long time. Probably won't, knowing my past history. I'll probably put it up for sale. But it's going to have to go to a loving home, that's for sure. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. I hope you found it somewhat interesting. I have no idea what we'll talk about tomorrow, but I will be back. Call me if you need me, 423-552-2020, and we'll see you then.